Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Matty Gladden Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This four-year-aged bourbon is double-pot distilled and non-chill filtered and has a full-bodied mouthfeel with eucalyptus, molasses, clove, ginger, and slight citrus as well as grains of paradise. The finish is long and reappearing on the back of the tongue with notes of pepper, tobacco leaf, and mint cream. All of our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick, respect the grain, please enjoy responsibly, and be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
That was The Doors in 1968 at the Hollywood Bowl. That was Jim Morrison. And they start us off every single podcast finding the next whiskey bar. Tonight, I am at the whiskey bar in the Scotchy Bourbon Boy Man Cave. Welcome, everybody, to this edition to Scotchy Bourbon Boy. I am Tiny. I am podcasting tonight solo, and I've got a really good podcast for us tonight, folks. I'm excited. This should be fun. I've got a lot of energy. I'm just geared up. Fuck yeah. This is whiskey. Tonight we are going to be pitting Jim Beam up against Jack Daniel's. We are going to compare the two whiskeys. And I'm going to give my tasting notes, and I'm going to barrel bash the shit out of these two bourbons, or this bourbon and Tennessee whiskey, depending on how you look at it. Because Jack Daniel's, as we've talked about in the past, can be anything that you want it to be, and it definitely is what people want it to be. But you heard earlier, the Spirit of French Lick and Alan Bishop, they are our official sponsors, along with, we are really close to finalizing, but it is already a deal that is going to be made, the Logstill Distillery. So let me give my fun facts on the Spirit of French Lick. The Spirit of French Lick, the largest pot still distillery in Indiana, is leading the way, representing both quality of Hoosier artisan distilling process while paying tribute to its inseparable past and the many pre-Prohibition era distilleries that once dotted the hills of southern Indiana. By implementing best practices from those early times with improved modern methods, Spirits of French Lick has created a unique place in the industry, not only in terms of its story, but its methodology. Double pot still distillation, retention, and concentration of flavor and aroma. Established in 2016 as an outgrowth of the French Lick Winery, Spirits of French Lick focuses on four pillars of distilling: bourbon, brandy, botanical spirits, and American whiskey. Alan Bishop there is doing a fantastic job with those pot stills that he runs, and how he distills and what he's been doing there is pretty amazing. And we're excited that we are a sponsor, they are a sponsor of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, because some of the really good whiskey and bourbon that's being produced today. Read an article that Alan had linked everybody up to about how they were the true Colonel Taylor, the different expressions of Colonel Taylor that come out, the four grains, the 18-year marriage, and they referred to those as more mainstream bourbons and whiskeys, where Alan is taking his pot stills and pretty much going through the artesian process of producing those type whiskeys on a smaller scale than what they are, but also using the pot still distillation to add more flavor, the different yeasts, and he definitely barrel ages a different way than Kentucky because of the way that he distills. So it's wonderful to have the Spirit of French Lick as our sponsor. So that gets me to tonight. Let's just see. We had our 500th member, and I believe that bottle has been sent out. It was to Jennifer in New Jersey. And we also, though, it's been picked up for our 500th, after our 500th member. This week, we've had 18 new members. So let's welcome Stephen Fowler, Andrew Hillman, Ed Escott, Jeremy Dalton, Rico Bennett, Kevin Rose, Randy Gartz, Travis Henry, Travis McLeod, Virginia Patinelli, Robert Hill, Michael Lynch, Patricia Piedmont, John Patrick O'Donnell, Bill Mayo, and James Drevick. They are our new Scotchy Bourbon Boy members, and it's great to have everybody along into the group. We are over 520 now, and it's really kind of cool. I just actually got a member request as we're sitting here. I'll just take a look at it real quick. Let's see. Yeah. Jonah Frames, will add that into there because I just approved Jonah. So with that said, we are ready. It's exciting to have this group, what we do on Facebook. So if you're listening to the podcast and you're not aware of the Facebook group, we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Check us out. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. Ask to join the group. Answer a few questions, and you will be a part of one of the great groups on Facebook for whiskey. We also are on YouTube. I'm starting to push that YouTube channel. Please go to YouTube, subscribe, and leave some feedback if you like what you see. I think we're getting there. We've got a nice, brand going there, and I'm starting to consistently be able to start to load and get some time to load those podcasts and whiskey live tastings that we do. Also, listen to us on your favorite podcast format, but please, whatever format you're listening, subscribe and leave some feedback for us, because feedback is what drives the algorithms and the podcast to make us get bigger and searched better. So check out your podcast format and remember, subscribe and leave some feedback there. We are also on Instagram, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, Twitter at Scotchy The, and we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys there too. And then also, I believe, I think I might have gotten it all covered. Oh, you can come and check us out at www.scotchybourbonboys.com. The website has a lot of information on our whiskey live tastings. It gives you bio on us Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And then also you can connect up to Patreon in the top right-hand corner of the website. Click the Patreon button, and or at the bottom of the website, and come over, check us out, because on Patreon, you got a chance for a lot of stuff if you support us. There's so many different ways, from all the way from $3 up to $250 a month on a subscription. We've got so many different things. Please check us out there, support us there, and whatever support that you give us through Patreon, we appreciate. That takes me through. Also, if you have any direct questions, you can refer that to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys at gmail.com. We'll take questions. If you send them in, we'll try and answer them the best that we can. So that brings us through that part of the podcast. It's great to be here tonight. We are still in that transition stage. I am going to be going back to my home state of Wisconsin. Currently, I reside in Canton, Ohio for the last 17 years. But when I go back, I'm excited because this Friday, we are going to be podcasting from J. Henry and Sons Distillery. We'll get a little tour, get some video for the YouTube, and then hopefully podcast with there's a multiple of people there that we could end up podcasting with. We'll find out who we get to once we get there, but we are very excited about that. So look forward to that probably Saturday sometime. I'll be loading that particular podcast. That brings me to what's coming up in September 16th through 19th, but the Scotchy Bourbon Boys are going down September 11th to Kentucky Bourbon Festival, like I said, 16th through 19th, and we are going to be podcasting on premise. If you see us there, stop by and say hi. This is going to be a wild event. I've got a lot of people already lined up. The whole Bourbon Festival as of this time is sold out completely. Everything that they have sold out. That's just amazing. And this is going to be one of the cooler Kentucky Bourbon Festivals. If you go to the Kentucky Bourbon Festival site, you can see all the distillers that are going to be there. And then you click and it takes you to all the different distillers' websites. Kind of a really kind of fast, cool way to do that. And then also what I wanted to get through is that once we're there, we are going to be doing a huge amount of podcasts that week. I've probably have a chance right now, and it's only at this moment in July, still 2 months away. We have over 14 people that want to do podcasting. So it's going to be a wild time. We're going to see a lot of people. We're getting to know a lot of people, and this should be pretty cool. If you're a Scotchy Bourbon Boy and you're going, please connect up with us because we are thinking of having a Scotchy Bourbon Boy meeting down in Kentucky. Wouldn't that be exciting? So that gets on to the main subject, and I would like to, before we get into the main subject, the Logstill Distillery, Wally and Lynn Dant have just started that down in, I'll try and say Gethsemane, Kentucky, and they are on the land that the original dance were, their distillery was in the 50s. And they've always kept that land similar to the in the family, but they had stopped distilling. And they, Wally, Lynn, Charlie, Tim, the whole Dant family, they are bringing back the Dant name, coming back with the Logstill Distillery. And it's pretty exciting, them coming on board to be a sponsor of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. So we're excited about that. And one of their premier bourbons that they're releasing is Monk's Road. But they have the Monk's Road 5th District Series. With the Monk's Road 5th District Series, we tip our hats to the historic tax district of Central Kentucky. Deeply seeped in bourbon lore, with this rotating series of hand-selected spirits, we honor a long line of rotating bluegrass-inspired bourbons created with the same ingenuity and fortitude made famous by our patriarch, Joseph Washington Dant. So just this once, let's celebrate the tax man. This first release, 6-year-old single barrel bourbon, pays homage to Cold Spring Distillery, a historic distillery founded in the 1800s on the land where we currently located, where we are currently located in southern Nelson County, Kentucky. The Cold Spring name harkened back to the spring where, even in the summer, the water stayed cool enough that the distillery could continue to operate. It's just exciting times. Hopefully, when we're there in September, we will be stopping by the Logstill Distillery and saying hi to Wally and Lynn and Charlie, and hopefully get a chance to meet Tim Dant also. That's just wonderful. And as we go forward, I am going to barrel bash Jim Beam and Jack Daniels. I want to compare them side to side. It's something that I've never done. I'm putting them up against each other. They are two of the top selling whiskeys in the world for United States selling whiskeys. This is 2021 stats. Jack Daniels was outselling, in 2019 when I looked it up, Jack Daniels was number three selling whiskey in the world and the number one selling whiskey in as an American whiskey. The 2020 stats, though, and Jim Beam is for an American whiskey was in second place, but they were not close. But the 2021 stats, Jack Daniels sold 12.3 million cases, and Jim Beam has sold 10.7 million cases. So the gap that was happening in the years past is changing, and it's getting narrower. But those two whiskeys are by far the top whiskeys of America. The number three selling whiskey in America throughout the world is Evan Williams, and they sell 3 million cases. So, you know, Jack Daniels is selling four times as much, and Jim Beam is selling 3.25 times as much as the third place contestants. Now, Maker's Mark is in fourth for American whiskeys, and it's 2.4 million cases. And then Bulleit has made a point, but they're in seventh place at 1.8, Wild Turkey at 1.7 million, and Woodford Reserve at 1 million. So that gives you actual, way to understand. We're talking about a case is six bottles. So you're just talking about, 60 million bottles of Jim Beam, and Jack Daniels, you're talking, 72 million bottles, 12 times. Yeah. 72 million bottles sold worldwide. And that's just a huge amount of whiskey, just to be aging and producing. And it's just a tribute to the distillers and the consistency of what they bring to the table. Now, I have my little whiskey tasting journal, so I am going to open that up right now. Our barrel bashing system is consists of four categories, with each category having up to four barrel bashes. There is the category of nose, taste, body, and finish. Now, the nose, taste, and body, and finish, each one can get a four, but we allow, if it's an exceptional category, for you to give a butt up. So there's a chance of a perfect whiskey score of 17 out of 16 to, rate the bourbon. So the barrel bashes, we just were bashing away. So you would think after over 100 episodes and at least 70 or 80 of them with barrel bashing going on, I would have this down, but fuck it. I haven't had anything to drink tonight. So this is just starting off fresh. I have tried to cleanse my palate a little, but, and then let's do, Jim Beam. And what we'll do is alternate the nose, the taste, the body, and the finish on what we do. All right. So the Jack Daniels, we've talked about Jack Daniels in the past. I grew up, just a little bit of a history. I grew up, my father enjoyed Jack Daniels, and it was, what would you say? It was readily available in my house growing up. Now, Jack Daniels, throughout the history of Jack Daniels, Jackie Gleason and Frank Sinatra, the Rat Pack, really put them on the map. And then I'm just opening up this Cleveland Indians bottle that I just picked up today of Jim Beam. But Jack Daniels, also with the Rat Pack in the... That Jackie Gleason introduced, he introduced Frank Sinatra in the 40s to Jack Daniels, and then it was really made popular. Now, the spokesperson for Jim Beam for a long time was Sean Connery when he was coming out of his James Bond, right at that time when he was playing James Bond, he also was representing Jim Beam. So they've both gone through some really cool marketing, marketing endeavors. They both have a place in American history. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, it's really kind of a cool, what would you say, it's really kind of a cool rivalry between the two. Now, Beam Suntory, through the Jim Beam Distillery, they own it, and that's who produces Jim Beam. And Brown and Foreman, they do it in Tennessee, but they also produce Woodford Reserve. They produce Old Forester, and the subject of our whiskey live tasting last Friday, Cooper's Craft. So, you know, they're all making, you know, Jim Beam makes Knob Creek. They make Booker's, you know, they're just making massive amounts of whiskey. And, it's really kind of, cool kind of thing that we're going to put these two up against each other. I haven't done it. The reason why Jack Daniels is considered to be different than Jim Beam is they have the Lincoln process, where they put the White Dog, before it goes into the barrel, they put that through a filtering process of maple charcoal. So they have charcoal made from maple trees that they slowly filter through before it goes into the barrel. It's called the Lincoln process. And for a long time, that basically made Jack Daniels not a bourbon. But then in 1964, Congress deemed it that the Lincoln process subtracted, didn't add. So they deemed it bourbon. But Jack Daniels to this day only recognizes itself as Tennessee sour mash whiskey. So like I was saying before, it can be anything that you want it to be. But the difference is that charcoal filtering, which they say mellows the whiskey, where Jim Beam is aged. I believe this is a combination of 4 to 5 year whiskey. And it is, it goes through the bourbon process, straightforward. And it is, as far as bourbon concerned, the number one selling bourbon in the world, but it's the number two selling American whiskey in the world. But we're going to put them right up against each other, starting right now. Now, in my glass, comparing the two, Jack Daniels is a little bit more, It's a combination. It's a little bit more amber, whereas the Jim Beam is a little bit more gold. So in color, the Jim Beam was more towards the gold, and the Jack Daniels was more towards the amber, but they both were on the in-between. One was on the lower end of in-between amber and gold, more towards the gold, and the other one was the higher end towards amber. So I know that Jack Daniels is aged. I believe that's aged. It doesn't have an age statement, but it's seven. It's 7 year old whiskey. All right. So I am going to go about this and see what it is. All right. So I'm going to get specific on the noses and the categories. I get a little fruit. I want to say almost a peach on the Jack Daniels. And I get a little bit of cherry. So the Jim Beam on this one. I get a little bit of the rye. There's some caramel. A little bit of peanut. Some people refer this to peanuts, but I refer it to more, I like to say hazelnut. I identify with hazelnut so clearly. And in this case, I'm identifying with hazelnut. Well, tonight we are using our Scotchy Bourbon Boys Glencairn. You can get one of these Glencairns at the website, www.scotchybourbonboys.com. This was we were led to be able to get these wonderful Glencairn glasses with the Scotchy Bourbon Boy logo on it through Martin Duffy, who is the North American Glencairn glass representative for the company. And also he is a Scotchy Bourbon Boy that has been on the podcast before and has led us down a lot of good paths and connections to people in this industry. And I look forward to meeting up with him at the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. Yeah, I'm going in. There's a nutty, some people call it peanut, I call it hazelnut, but it's the standard Jim Beam, it's their, what would you say, it's 100% their flavor profile. Now, let me look, I'm going to do this really quick. All right, we'll just do this. Hold on, folks, I'm going to... I didn't do it right away, but I'm going to do it now. All right. There we are. All right. So Jim Beam is 77% corn, 13% rye, and 10% malted barley. And the mash bill for Jack Daniels, I believe, if I'm not. Yeah, here we go. Jack Daniels mash bill is 70%. Mash bill, 70% corn, 18% rye, and 12% malted barley. So there's a little bit of difference between 17, 13, 70. So there's more corn in the mash bill of the Jim Beam. So let's just nose it one more time. Now, when we're drinking some of the Jim Beam and the Jack Daniels, the goal of these whiskeys is to be consistent. Whether people like it or not, people like me who like inconsistency, and a lot of the people in the whiskey groups and people who like bourbons, exquisite bourbons, finished bourbons, single barrel bourbons, and we love that aspect of the industry. And we podcast, we talk about it and everything. We don't mind inconsistencies, but when it comes to the Jack Daniels and the Jim Beams, this was a desired goal of distillers all the way up until it's got to be like the mid 1980s to the early 1990s. Their goal was to consistently make a product that tasted with the flavored profile. It was a very difficult thing. It's why they tried to do it forever, because it wasn't easy to consistently make Jack Daniels and Jim Beam taste the same. The aging of those barrels, some years would be colder, some years would be warmer. The barrels are different consistently. Even if two barrels are sitting next to each other, the type of wood, where those oaks were growing, there's so many different variables. But the goal of these two bourbons is to be consistently the same. So when you reach for that bottle, they give you what you're looking to taste. All right. So I'm going to taste the Jack Daniels. That's not even fair. In the glass. Now, Jack Daniels is 80 proof. And I believe we are looking at I was reading that it was 86 proof, but I'm going to take a look just to make sure so that I can. This is 80 proof also, Jim Beam right now. So these two are going straight up against each other with 80 proof whiskeys. All right. Now that I've shocked my palate, I'll take another sip. I get a little bit of it's a mapling kind of flavor. You can taste a little bit of the corn on the Jack Daniels. Let me see what else I'm trying to get out of this. What's crazy? As a kid drinking Jack Daniels in my 18, 19, 20, mid-20s, this was hot. This was fiery. This was hard. The goal was to drink this in shots and get it down as fast as possible. And I would say I had Jack Daniels at my stag party. I had a good amount, too much. But now that I've been, fine-tuning my palate, this 80 proof whiskey is something. It's like I can treat it like mouthwash, and there's no burn almost at all. So it's kind of like as you get older and your taste buds get more worn out, I think. That's why whiskey in your late 40s, 50s, and 60s is going to taste and be a relaxing type thing, because in your 20s, your late teens, 20s, and 30s, it was a lot hotter. And I don't, and I know that if it's just based off of how much whiskey that I didn't drink, that why Jack Daniels stayed hot and why I always was trying to not taste it. But I'm going to give it one more taste. Interesting on that one, I got some lemongrass. A lemony taste, a strong lemony taste, which is just crazy. I mean, where the hell would the lemony taste? That's just like your palate is so different from day to day. All right. So let's put that one. Now we're going to taste the Jim Beam. I'm getting, wow, that is just crazy. Way, I must be having lemon on, the lemon that came through on that one, and the honey, it's like a honey lemon on it, on for me. There you go. There's a little bit of that rye, a little bit of that hazelnut or peanut. That's a classic. All right. So now I got to come up with body. The one thing that stands clear initially between the Jack Daniels and the Jim Beam is the finish on the Jim Beam is going to win. There's a better finish. Now I'm going to go back to the Jack Daniels. Little bit more caramel. A little leathery on the finish now for the Jack Daniels. I'm getting a lot of the lemongrass. On the nose. Same. That is just crazy. All right. So let's, I'm going to do this one more time. Tasting. They're very, what would you say? They're close, except for the Jim Beam profile having the hazelnut is what separates them, where there's a little bit of caramel or, I'm trying to think of the taste that, it's a candy. It tastes like a mallow cup. All right, let's do a little bit more. Harsher. I tried to get the leather to be dark chocolate. So when you're tasting and you're dealing with a finish, there's three levels of a finish. And they're all three coming from, my opinion, is the oak of the barrel and the char of the barrel. So this is like a char that's adding. So if there's a sweetness to it and you're getting that leather or you're getting a coffee or you're getting a tobacco, the sweetness turns it into chocolate. That exact same flavor for me. So this is not sweet, and it's like the different levels are leather. It goes chocolate, then leather, then tobacco, and burnt leather or burnt tobacco. Tobacco definitely gets a little bit more sour, and leather is like chocolate. Or dark chocolate with no sugar. So that's where the leather comes in. And you ask, where did you ever taste leather? Well, when I was a kid, I chewed on. So I'd have to say this is baseball glove string leather. Because I chewed on leather on my strings, on my baseball glove. So I'm very familiar with leather. As far as tobacco goes, you can pick that up because if you smoke some cigars throughout your life, you know what tobacco is. We're not referring to cigarette tobacco. We're more towards the, and then sometimes the tobacco is like before you smoke the cigar, what the cigar tastes like, you know, before when you put it in your mouth, before you light it. There's a lot of different tastes of tobacco. So, you know, and this one is definitely on the Jack Daniels a leather finish. There's one more time. Jack Daniel's finish is a medium finish. All right, here we go for the Jim Beam. This is truly head-to-head. Way. Jim Beam does not drink like an 80-proof bourbon. Basil Hayden drinks like an 80-proof bourbon. Jim Beam does not. Jim Beam's got a kick at this point. And if you like peanuts or hazelnut, this is a fantastic bourbon. And obviously, the world agrees because, you know, when you go to the liquor store, and I talk to Richard at my Giant Eagle, and he fills me in kind of how distribution works in Ohio. But there's no doubt that what he gets is, when it comes to Jim Beam and Jack Daniels, is way more than what he gets out of these allocated specialty bourbons, or let's just say not the small batches. They don't come in the same way, and they don't sell the same way. One, they're more expensive. Two, the way they move off the shelves, there's less of them, so people want them more. But way less people want them more. And then there's a certain amount of people that love the fact that when you walk into your local liquor store, that Jack Daniels and Jim Beam are there. That is a very important thing to some people because that's what they drink. That's what they like. And I would have to say and when it comes to this, the Jack Daniels is giving me some child or young adult memories, which is nice. And it's like the Jim Beam. I know the taste because this is, we are friends, and Fred Noe's wife is a Scotchy bourbon boy. I did my first ever barrel pick with Freddie Noe on the Knob Creek for the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. I'm so looking forward to getting down there and picking up that bottle. Shout out to Randy Rossi for including the Scotchy Bourbon Boys in everything that he included us. We really appreciate everything that Randy El Presidente does for us. All right. And then I guess if we're giving shout outs, Greg Schneider, the Chicken Cock Whiskey and Grain and Barrel Spirits are going to have, they signed on to the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, so that's pretty damn exciting. That means that my friend, Greg Schneider, a very good friend, is going to be at Kentucky Bourbon Festival, and I look forward to being able to see him there. All right. So it's time to start to barrel bash these. Oh, great. Right down the wrong pipe. It's funny. If this was a barrel strength, I wouldn't be able to breathe and probably have to pause the podcast. All right. So once again, four, the most you can give for a category is four. All right. The Jack Daniels I'm going to nose right now. It's a very, I would have to say, it's not complex, but that nose, corn, candy corn. Marshmallow? I don't get any. Yeah. So I'm going to give the Jack Daniels nose a 3. Write that down for Jack. I would say that the Jim Beam nose is similar. It's more like Cracker Jack's. And if you like the Jim Beam nose, it's a four, but I would say as far as a bourbon goes, it's got hazelnuts, Cracker Jack, little bit of peanut. I would say that that's for me, it's a good nose, but it's also a three. We barrel bashed them to a tie on the nose. Taste. I still can't believe I just can swish a little this around my mouth and extend the taste. Jack Daniel's to me misses in a bunch of different places, mid palate. And it's funny because that's one of the things that I was always skipping when I was trying to sip Jack Daniel's through. I would always skip that mid palate and never realizing that the mid palate is actually not there. So when it comes to taste, I'm going to go with two for Jack Daniel's. All right. One more time. I'm going to sip this Jim Beam. On the taste, Jim Beam definitely is a three. Now, it's easy on both of them. When it comes to body, they're both twos. But going into that finish, Jim Beam has it doesn't have a four finish, but it has a three finish. And Jack Daniel's has a two finish, almost a one. But it pulls off a little bit of leather, not tobacco, for me, and it doesn't go. So it pulls off a two. But both of these bourbons are right at the right price point for selling a shit ton of bourbon and enjoying. But when you're talking about 3, 6, 9, 11 out of 16 for Jim Beam and nine out of 16 for Jack Daniel's, for the price, you can't go wrong with either one of them. But in my opinion, I stress my opinion. Now, my opinion should be slanted towards Jack Daniel's, but that was made based off of what my father drank when I was a young man, and I drank a ton of, it's funny. I got a great story. Sam's Club early on, when in Wisconsin, sold some high end type stuff. There was a couple $100 bourbons in the 90s that they were selling that they had. They were older bourbons that they had found. And I just remember going to the liquor cabinet and seeing all these, and they were like $110 and $120. And I never pulled the trigger on these different bourbons. That one came from a whiskey that they were selling that came from a shipwreck. And I mean, this was, in West Allis, Wisconsin, and it was in the case. And I wasn't that into whiskey back then, but I would look at the case, and I was buying, my dad drank Jack Daniel's number seven, and I was, you know, I looked at the single barrels. I probably bought two or three bottles of single barrel Jack Daniels in 93 to 96. And I had no idea what I was fucking buying. It's just like, I had no idea what a single barrel was. It was like, you're buying single barrel. I was, you know, talking about, you know, I barely knew anything about scotch. But, you know, when scotch was talking, you know, when you're talking about different scotches, a single malt, and I thought we were talking about that type of thing, which is completely different than what a single barrel is. I mean, everybody knows now what a single barrel is, and Jack Daniel's single barrels are out there, and the barrel proof, you know, I gave this a 9 out of 16. But when you come to that Jack Daniel's barrel proof, you are talking a different game. There is no Jim Beam barrel proof. There's Booker's, but they will not say that that's Jim Beam barrel proof. That's actually Booker's. So there's nothing to compare Jack Daniel's barrel proof, but Jack Daniel's barrel proof scores high no matter when I drink it. It's a fantastic bottle. But that takes us to the end of what we're doing tonight. It was a great podcast. It was a great podcast. It's fun to do these podcasts by myself, but it's also looking forward to Young Nose has started to get his Charleston, South Carolina feet under him. He has done a Facebook Live tasting already down there, and I hope to get him on a podcast soon. Super Nash right now is busy as shit. He's finding bourbons, but he is working his profession of fire extinguisher services, AB fire extinguisher services, servicing North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. And he basically, this is his time to be out and about finding bourbon, but also working his ass off. So it's rough to get him on to the podcast. And then anybody out there in the Canton, Ohio area that's listening, if you are interested in joining the Scotchy Bourbon Boys and maybe becoming a podcasting member, that would, I'm just, you know, sending that out there right now. Not a problem. If I don't find anybody, I can do more podcasts like this. And then also my wife, Roxy, she has been on the podcast from time to time, and she also is busy. Her business is going crazy. So, in this time, just stick with me. I'm going to be doing a few solo podcasts, but I intend to start to bring my partners all back on, because this is so much more fun when you're not just doing it one-on-one. But once again, tonight, remember that Jim Beam, in my opinion, and I stress, because everybody's palate is different, and just because I like something doesn't mean that everybody else likes what I like. I'm just giving a guide to what I like, and just let me know what you think of the podcast. Remember, www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Check us out on Patreon. Check us out on YouTube. Check us out on the Facebook group. And remember, good bourbon equals good friends and good times. And everybody, live dangerously out there. Good night.
Show me the way to to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why.